Now, a national pressure group is calling for online voting to be introduced in elections in Hertfordshire. Web Roots Democracy believes the technology should be tried out in places like Watford first, before being extended to all voters in time for the 2020 general election. Well, Chief Executive Arik Chowdhury joins me now. Morning, Arik.
Good morning.
Why do you think this is such a good idea?
Well, first of all, turnouts in elections are quite low, not just in devolved mayoral elections, but also in general elections. Also, there's been cultural change in society. We now have 38 million people socialising online, 26 million banking online, 4.5 million dating online. So what we're basically trying to do is update our democracy so that voting is in line with the way that people live the rest of their everyday lives.
So how would it work?
So with online voting, we'd probably take a similar system to Estonia, who is the only country that's used it in major parliamentary elections, and they've recently celebrated their 10th anniversary of doing so.
Who was doing this?
Estonia.
Estonia. Okay, yeah. And how does it work there? What do the Estonians do?
The way they do is they have online voting as an option alongside polling station voting and postal voting. And what you do there is that you can vote multiple times with only your last vote counting. So there's an extended online voting period.
What?
And what that does is it guards against people pressuring you to voting a certain way or purchasing votes, for example. And what you can do as well is even if your final vote is pressured, you can go in person at the polling station and vote. And that
so you're highlighting the fact that people might be pressured or that online voting might be corrupt.
No, I'm saying that it has safeguards against being pressured.
The safeguard against online voting being corrupt is that they go into a polling booth and vote.
Only if your very final vote is discounted, but that's a safeguard that doesn't exist currently in the postal voting system.
Okay,
so if you look at it within the current system.
So to make sure that online voting is legitimate, they have to be able to go and cast a vote in a ballot box. But I thought people didn't want to vote in ballot boxes.
No. People, obviously, there are lots of people who do want to vote in ballot boxes. The point with the safeguard of being able to vote in a polling station is that in case you are pressured by a family member or someone like that, you can still cast a legitimate vote, which in the current system you just don't have that safeguard with.
Okay, well, supposing it wouldn't stop the selling of votes, though, would it?
Yeah, again, it would. It would stop the selling of votes because if someone was to buy your vote, it would be worthless if you could recast that vote.
Yeah, but if you've sold your... But if you're talking to the disenfranchised, the people who don't want to get involved in voting, young people, I'm guessing this is primarily aimed at those who are quite happy to text a vote to the X Factor or press their red buttons now. If they sell their vote for, I don't know, 10 quid, and they weren't bothered about voting anyway, someone says, here's a tenner if you vote for parliamentary candidate X. Well, yeah. They've sold their vote. Why would they then go off to a voting booth and vote if they're not that bothered anyway?
There's nothing to stop people doing that now, though. I mean, you could give someone a tenner and say, can you go to a polling station and vote for X?
But the thing, of course, is only one person is allowed behind that curtain. So you can say, I'll go and vote for X. But actually, they go and vote for Y. Online, you'll have someone over your shoulder going, go on, press X. Oh, well done. Excellent. Thank you. Here's your £10.
Yeah, but the point with the repeat voting is that what that safeguards is...
No, but it wouldn't, it wouldn't safeguard it, because if they're not bothered about voting anyway... Yeah. They'll just take the tenner and they go buy a packet of fags. So if they're not bothered by it...
That does still exist with things like postal voting in the current system, which you can make the exact same argument.
Yeah, you could, exactly. Let's get rid of postal voting.
The thing with online voting is that it does have at least a safeguard against that.
It's not the style of voting, is it, that's putting people off? It's the fact that people don't feel they don't feel connected with politics. They don't think the politicians have anything to say to them. They feel disenfranchised and that all politicians are the same. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in the report that we released yesterday, it shows that online voting isn't a silver bullet, but what it would do is engage the people who currently are locked out of their voting systems, and not just young people. So, for example, people with vision impairments currently are unable to cast a secret ballot in the current system, and a lot of charities are calling for the ability to vote online, because at the moment people with vision impairments have to rely on someone else casting their vote on their behalf.
They would still have to if they're doing it online, wouldn't they? They can't see.
Well, there's a lot of accessible websites that they can use that are vision impairment friendly.
How many people does that affect, Eric?
about 2 million people in the UK with vision impairments. But in general, in our report, it shows that online voting would reduce the turnout of young voters by 26 percentage points to 70%, and it would boost overall voting by around 9 million. So it could have a really significant impact. Although it wouldn't boost it to 100%, as you said, there are still a number of issues around disillusionment, apathy.
And that's it, isn't it? That surely is the primary thing. It's not the style of voting, and it's all very good to say, oh yeah, you'd be able to do it on your mobile phone or whatever. It's the fact that young people, flipping it, I feel disenfranchised as a middle aged man quite often. I don't feel they're talking to me, and that's surely you have to engage young people in politics instead of giving them flashy gimmicks, don't you?
I wouldn't say it's a gimmick. I would say it's, as I said at the beginning, it's more being in line with the way we live every the rest of our lives. So, for example, banking online, there's now millions of people doing that. People are socialising online. It's really a logical step, really, in updating our method of voting, not just because of the turnout and impact on accessibility, but also it would reduce costs massively. So a conservative estimate in our report is that it would reduce costs by 12.8 million. And that's likely to be a lot higher. That's basically on the basis of financial information is available out there at the moment.
Why Watford, Eric? Why have you chosen there?
So an ambition for... So the number of groups such as the Speakers Commission on Digital Democracy and the Houses of Commons Political and Constitutional Reform Committee have picked an ambition of 2020 as an ambition to have online voting. So in our report, we've looked at mayoral elections specifically in the next parliament simply because you can... test online voting much better in an area such as Watford because you can integrate it better with social media and you can have an election that's slightly more high profile than local council elections. So the way it's been trialled before is in specific wards, which whilst it's been useful, it's not an accurate reflection of what it could be like in real life. And one of the impacts of online voting, one of the benefits is that it would boost turnout in elections such as mayoral elections. And in Watford, I believe it was 36% of people voted in 2012, which isn't a large amount.
Eric, listen, we have to end it there. I appreciate your time. Thank you. It's an interesting idea. That's the chief exec of Webroots Democracy, Eric Chowdhury.